This is Dak Prescott, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome to Faith on the Field Show. I am Rob Motti with my beautiful wife, Remy. Great to be with you on 97.5 The Fanatic, Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Radio, Tallahassee Sports Monster, and 107.5 Alive. I hope everyone had a happy and blessed Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Our guest this week is former NFL wide receiver Brandon Marshall. Brandon was one of the best players at his position for more than a decade. I can't wait for you to hear this interview. It's very powerful. And Brandon talks about how he overcame borderline personality disorder and much more in this interview. But he said the year he dedicated his life to Christ, and that was in 2010. Yeah. He said that was a living hell that year for him. And he said he would wake up when he was at the hospital getting treatment, and he would just get on his knees, literally, he said, on his knees, and he would give thanks, and he would pray. And what happened to him during that time, he said, is that he was trying to break a generational curse.
I love that.
And what he did was, he said, I continue to pray the same prayer over and over. God, help me break the cycle. I want to break the cycle in my life. He said, my family, my generational curse. Mm-hmm. And he goes, and as it's happening, he's actually there now getting treatment. He's in the hospital. And they're doing Bible studies, and yeah, they're talking about, you know, while they're eating, while they're talking to doctors, and all of that stuff. And he goes, I truly believe that my worship and my prayer and my tithing was a huge reason why my life was radically transformed.
Absolutely.
And I love what he says, and you're going to hear this later, but he goes, it's one thing to be changed. Change is like putting a layer of paint over something. Transform is when you know you got a new paint job and your doors become wings. Oof. And he said that transformation for him was through Jesus. And he said that's when you see people's lives radically transformed. So we're going to talk about desire. Yes. Because Brandon Marshall, he had the desire, mm-hmm, to break down this cycle, to beat this cycle, yes, to pursue how he can end this generational curse. He's got this issue going. He grew up in an environment that was tough and that was challenging, mm-hmm, and borderline personality disorder. I don't know much about it. Mm-hmm. You do. Yeah. And as you know, you worked in psychology, you worked as a social worker, and it's a very tough thing. Yeah. And for him to beat it, for him to break that cycle, he knew that he had to turn to, one, he sought help, and we never tell anyone not to seek help. Right. But he said, you know, he now strives to end that stigma because, mm-hmm, a lot of men, and we talked about this before with Brian Dawkins, yeah, a lot of men feel like, yeah, I could suck it up, right?
Yeah,
I'm going to suck it up. I'm going to tough it out. I'm going to be a man. I don't need to go get help. And that's a sign of weakness, mm-hmm, because you're not showing strength or whatever. And that's Brandon's mission now, is to end the stigma of mental health illness, of mental illness. And he's trying to do that, but he did it by seeking help, but understanding and recognizing that he had to break that cycle and Jesus was his answer.
Right.
And that's how he did it. And I know, I want to read this Bible verse before you talk a little bit about desire, because you've been reading a great book and you showed me that chapter on it.
I love
and
that book,
it's great. Mm-hmm. Jesus says in Mark 11:24, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, mm-hmm, and it will be yours.
Yep. Yep.
I know you love that.
Yeah. It's, this verse is everything. First of all, I just want to touch on what he said. First of all, you have to have the desire to want to change things in your life. Mm-hmm. Your thought does not God cannot override your thought. That's actually Your thoughts are your thoughts. Mm-hmm. The only thing that God can do and to even allow God to override your thoughts is your desire. Mm-hmm. To want to override your thoughts. So as you read in Mark, you have to want something. You have to believe it's yours. Then it will happen. Because you can want something, but not desire it as much. You're like, yeah, whatever, just a thought. And nothing happens. And you go, what happened? Where is God? You didn't desire it. You didn't want it bad enough.
Yeah.
See, he wanted it bad enough to the point that he got on his knees and prayed and wanted to break the generation curse. He knew.
And he did something about it.
He did something physically.
He sought help.
He thought that he got the help he needed. That's number one. And he wanted God to be in that process, mm-hmm. which is huge. That definitely right there is your answer. And three, he did not just pray one prayer. No, he went on his knees every day and prayed and said, I want to break the generation curse. He knew that mental illness can go for generations and generations and generations. Mental issues is it's a big deal. It's not something to take lightly.
Nope.
It's something that you really, if somebody around you think you really need the help, you should definitely seek help. Because help is out there. But you also need the desire to want God to be in that process and help you break those curses. Because there's things in our bloodline that we don't understand where they came from. And you need to really bring God into the mix and say, I need you to help me with this. I need you to help me. I need you to find me a solution for this. I need you to walk me through it. And he will find you the solution, and he will get you there.
He'll lead you to the doctors.
He'll
lead you to whatever treatment form that you may need.
Absolutely.
But yeah, he's there with you throughout the whole thing.
And worship is a weapon. Worship is
I love
not,
when Brandon says yeah, that. He's yeah, like, yeah. My worship, my
yes,
prayer.
Yes, that
I can. Brandon is such a charismatic dude. Like, I can imagine him just belting out songs of worship wherever he may be.
Your worship is your weapon. Anytime there is something stressful in my life or something is happening or you feel an attack happening, you know what I mean? You put on a worship song and watch what happens when you put the worship song
on.
That's
so good. It's true.
Watch what happens. I'm telling you, watch what happens.
I need to take that advice.
Things will happen. First of all, inside of you, things will happen, and heaven doors will be open, and things will happen. Angels will be surrounding you, and things will happen.
Why haven't you been playing me some worship music lately? I feel like I need some worship music lately.
I play worship music all the time when you're working out. We're always working out.
Yeah, but working out is like, all right, good things are happening. It's, you know, when you see me ticked off or something, I need you to hit me with a worship song.
I put worship music on.
Can you do that? Can you help me out?
Yeah, I think worship is one of those weapons that they're just underused. And we need to use them more often. And we need to reach for them more often. Because sometimes the words in the worship is really what you need in this moment. And it really shifts the atmosphere for you. And as he said, he needed that worship. He needed the prayers. And he needed to be on his knees to get to that other level, to break through a barrier that mm-hmm. held him for so long. You are not supposed to be captive to anything, to no disease, to no nothing. You're not supposed to be captive to any of that. You are free. God made you and me free in him by the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. We are free. We're free to live healthy lives. We are free to live in no pain. We're free to live a good life in him. That's our desire. Desire is a strong thing.
Preach, girl.
No, because it's a big deal. We need to understand how we can change and transform our lives. Desire comes from the word of the Father. That's what desire means. Desires mean of the Father. So everything in your life, like if you want to change something, if you want to change your attitude, you want to change your mental health, if you want to change your financial health, if you want to change your marriage, that's your desire. And God put that desire in your heart because it's of the Father. It's what you want because you attach yourself to the Father. So now your desire and his desire are the same.
They're aligned.
Yeah. You know that that's something. When I kind of got to know Christ on a good level, I still did not understand that one important thing. I always thought there's a disconnect between my desire and his desire because I did not understand, like, is it okay for me to dream big? Is it okay for me to want to change things? Is it okay for me to want to change this or that or whatever? Is it okay? And I kept, like, if I read my diary the other day, and I don't, it's not really a diary, it's just thoughts, journal. You know, journal.
Yeah.
And I read it, and 6 years ago, I was just like, I wrote this thing, and I was like, I just want to know if this is from you, Lord. If this thing I'm praying about, is it from you? And
did it come true, what you wrote 6 years ago?
It's not, well, here, I'm going to come back to that. Okay. But it's not that it came true. It's not like I'm looking for something. It's more of like, I just wanted to know if my desires are his desires.
Okay, gotcha. I got you.
So now 6 years later, I'm looking at it going, yeah, it was. If you had just acted on it, it would have been. But that's the thing. It's everything we desire, if we have aligned with God, it is his desire for us. He put it there for a reason. He put it in my heart for a reason. So, and you know that it's from him because it's a good thing. So there's a lot of people that desire bad things, and that is not from the Father.
So you're not going to get that.
So you're not going to get that. Oh, you could, but it's not from the Father.
Yeah, it's not from the Father.
So heaven is where we operate from. His one thing that he said to us, he said, it is from heaven on earth. So we act from heaven on earth. Mm. So we're supposed to pull
as it is in heaven,
you know, on earth as it is in heaven. We pull from heaven to earth, not the other way around. So it is from heaven, it's from the Father. Mm. We can have it here on earth. So if my desire is to do good, and through that good, I can do other, like, you know, I can do projects and things and businesses and whatever from that. If it stems from the goodness of God, that is a good desire. So I've always placed myself in this,
very good.
You know, in this, there's like, I felt like there's a silver line or something that I'm missing. Like, I wasn't sure, like, where am I going? Is this right? Is this right? Am I supposed to go left? Am I supposed to go right? What is it that I'm desiring? You know, and if my desire is to be a healthy person, like he was saying, like, I want to break generational curses and I want to live a free life from disease and illness and not take this to the next generation. That's your desire? Well, guess what? It is a desire from the Father. He definitely wants you to be healthy. He definitely does not want your kids to have that or carry that. That's a huge burden that he does not want you to carry. So that desire is definitely from him. And he's doing well.
He's doing phenomenal, Brandon, right now. He's involved in so much stuff. He's got a show on FS1, a morning show. He's on Showtime, the NFL show. And he's just got so much that he's involved in. And you'll hear about that coming up. But as we stated earlier, it all stemmed from the desire.
Yeah.
Having that desire to break that generational curse. Mm-hmm. Having that desire to seek through God. How can I transform my life? And this is the part where also I believe it's just so powerful. See, we can all change, right?
Yeah.
And he likens it to getting fresh paint. You change the color of the room, but the room's still the room. It's just got a new color on it.
Yeah, yeah. If there's mold underneath, you still smell it.
But when, you know? but when you're transformed, when you become new, you're a new person.
Yeah.
You're a new person in Christ. And when you give your life over to Christ, you become new in him. That means your old life is over.
Right.
Your old life is dead. Yeah. When I gave my life to Christ, I essentially buried my old life. Mm. That didn't mean that my old life would not have any kind of ramifications or any kind of consequences that may haunt me into my new life. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't mean my new life is going to be all peaches and cream and a bed of roses and beautiful. No, challenges come, attacks come, all of that happens. Yeah. But I am a new person. And that old life is not going to bring me down anymore.
No.
That old life or my old issues or my past or whatever it is that was hindering me, that was hampering me, that was preventing me from being who God created me to be was not going to bring me down, take me down, or affect me any longer. And when you have that strong desire, when we desire change, and then ask for a radical transformation, that's when you see, man, this is a difference. And I sometimes just want to, you know, you talk about changing your environment, changing your atmosphere. Mm-hmm. How good does that feel? There are days where you're like, I just need to go outside for a minute.
Right.
Right. I just need to get a breath of fresh air. I just need to go for a ride. I just need to, like, people are home a lot.
Yeah. It's a lot.
You just need to change the environment. But you're not radically transforming your life.
No.
Unless you find through Christ and desire his will and seek his will so it aligns with yours. Right. And he'll help you. He will help you do that. And I feel like sometimes, you know, you get caught up in, I've been in a little bit of like a rut lately.
Yeah.
It happens, you know, you get busy with work and you get busy with this and there's a lot going on and you just get in that little, I want to get through the day. What do I have to do today? I got to finish. I have this, and this on my list. All right, check that off, finished. Let me get here, finished. All right, here, finished. And then do it again the next day, and then do it again the next day. And I feel like, well, that's not part of the radical transformation that I underwent. When I underwent a radical transformation, all these daily little things that just boggle your day and just fill your mind and all this stuff, these are just little speed bumps on the road.
You know, when you were talking, I just kept getting the word remnant. Like, the past is going to be a remnant compared to what God has in store for us when we give him our lives. It just, sometimes the past creeps in because the enemy brings it into us and remind us of what happened and remind us of what we were doing and remind us of the wrong we were doing before. And it's a remnant. To God is not something, the past is just the past. He doesn't care. He redeemed you. And the past is nothing. But the problem is, for us, it feels like it's such a big, huge deal. But it's not. It's really not. It's like a small little thing. It's like a dot compared to what's about to happen. But the enemy knows your past very, very well. He doesn't know your future. So he attacks. He's an idiot. So he attacks with your past.
Ah.
But to God, it's a remnant. And to God, it's just like a tiny
little
thing.
Piece. Yeah.
A little piece.
Little fragment.
Yeah,
little
fragment.
Scrap.
Fragment. But guess what, though? We all fall short, and we fall in the past, and we fall into the trap of memory. And that trap of going, but I've done this. I don't think I'm good enough. I'm not worthy of anything. I don't know who I really am. I'm not really cut out for this. I'm not meant for big things because of my past. It's all those little things and the self-doubt that creeps in from our past.
That's good.
But the past has nothing to do with the future. God has so much more. He said immeasurably more. Immeasurably. Like, you cannot measure what he's about to do if we just surrender our future to him. The future is huge compared to our past. Huge. Our past is just the past. And if we just keep reminding ourselves that the enemy, because he knows our past, will attack us with our past, if he would just hold that thought capture and just
say, vicious, man.
This is just a remnant, dude. Just break away. I'm done. And then put that worship song on and press forward, because he cannot hold you captive in your past. He just can't.
Break that cycle. Have that desire.
Absolutely.
I said this last week. The enemy attacks you where you're most comfortable.
Yeah, absolutely.
When you are comfortable, when you are going about your day, the daily routine, checking the boxes, living life, going
and not putting the armor of God on,
and not going through the protection, like you said, the armor of God. Mm-hmm. That's prayer is protection.
Yeah,
prayer
so it's also
is
a weapon.
Prayer is a weapon. Mm-hmm. Worship is a weapon. It's a weapon. It's protection. Mm-hmm. And
your voice
need it.
Is a weapon.
We
actually
need it.
A lot of people don't do that, and I used to not do that, but prayer with a loud voice is a weapon, because sometimes the atmosphere around you needs to shift in a physical form. And if you
listen, you want to break out in loud prayer anytime, go for it.
I do. I just watch me clapping all around. Because I do. The girl
said, so I was at work. I was at the football game covering a game the other day, Sunday. And I come home, but I got home early enough to sit with them and put them to sleep. Mm-hmm. And they said, Mommy cries a lot when she's watching church.
Yeah, because sometimes I have to, well, I moved. If I'm moved, I'm moved, you know, and yeah. I hold my hands up and you got to show your kid. It's not showing them like as a show, but it's more like you have to.
Yeah, it's not a performance.
No, I move. Right. Like, the Spirit of God moves me. I move, you know, so I pray out loud. I cry because I'm just moved. I'm an emotional person. And also, I want to teach my kids that it's okay to praise with a loud voice. It's okay to praise with your dancing. It's okay to praise.
They know. During virtual school.
Yeah.
They're singing worship music during virtual school, but they're muted.
They're good. And I'm sure the teacher knows they're Christian and they like to worship. So
it's pretty cool.
So it's awesome. But yeah, it's okay. And the reason why I'm saying that is because the atmosphere has to shift, and it shifts in a physical form when you use your loud voice. You know, when Jesus, when Lazarus died, right?
Yeah.
And when he was praying, when they called him to come to the tomb and called him to say, like, come raise Lazarus, when he spoke to his father, he spoke in a very quiet voice, you know? But when he spoke to Lazarus and he said, come forth, he actually said, the Bible says he said loudly, come forth. So why does he say come loudly? Because he's breaking things. He's shifting atmospheres, and he is demanding the death to just not take any more power. He's done with that. So he's shifting atmospheres with his voice. Your voice breaks barriers. So when you're doing a physical form and you're saying something loudly and you're praising and you're crying, there is things shifting around you in the physical realm. Yes. And the spiritual realm, and it takes a physical manifestation. It takes something that you do physically to change things spiritually around you. So if Jesus did it, I'm going to do it. You know what I'm saying?
He did it. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
I love that. Desire. Have that desire. Break that curse. You can do it. Brandon did it. I've done it. You've done it. We can all do it if you want it bad enough. Mm-hmm. If you desire it bad enough.
Yes.
God will help you break that cycle, break those chains, break that addiction, break that curse, break whatever it is holding you back, depression, anxiety, whatever it may be, some kind of mental health issue, whatever it may be. Seek the help you need and turn to God. He will help you break through it. You'll hear from Brandon Marshall. Up next, you're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Since 1930, the Heritage family has proudly served the communities of South Jersey. From humble roots, Heritage's dairy stores now operate 33 convenient locations. Their desire is to become your convenience store of choice, not just because of their welcoming atmosphere, but because of their fresh quality products. Heritage's milk is still the sweetest. Coffee's hot and fresh, and Heritage's full-service delis offer the best local ingredients prepared and sliced on site, far exceeding the competition. Heritage's Dairy Stores. It's not just our name, it's our heritage.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker.
Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have two daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266 like I did to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
Hey, this is Jerome Bettis, former running back from the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. Rob Motti with Remy. If you're tuning in for the first time on radio, you can go to faithonafieldshow.com and find every episode since we launched in 2017. We've had an awesome lineup of guests, so you can listen anytime at your convenience. You can also find us on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on Spotify, TuneIn, Podbean, as well as iTunes. You can also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Faith on the Field. If you sign up for our weekly email list, we'll send each episode right to your inbox. Make sure you also follow us on our social media platforms. I'm at Rob Motti on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, at Real Rob Motti on Instagram, and Remy is at Remy Motti on all of her social platforms. We'll let you know about speaking appearances and events that we're doing or hosting. You can go to my YouTube channel and listen to some of my recent messages. You can also find some longer interviews there that I do for my AP Pro Football podcast. We put some of the full interviews on the YouTube as well. Brandon Marshall played 13 seasons in the NFL with the Denver Broncos, Miami Dolphins, Chicago Bears, New York Jets, New York Giants, and Seattle Seahawks. Brandon had 970 catches for 12,351 yards and 83 touchdowns. Brandon was named to 6 Pro Bowls. He was an All-Pro once, and he did all this while battling through mental health issues. He was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder, and he sought the help that he needed. Brandon launched a podcast called I Am Athlete this year with former NFL players Chad Johnson, Fred Taylor, and Channing Crowder. He also opened House of Athlete, which is in Florida. It's a lifestyle wellness brand based on the 5 pillars of training, fueling, mental fitness, recovery, and tribe. And they just opened his first state-of-the-art training facility in Miami. Brandon is also now one of 4 hosts on Showtime's Inside the NFL, and most recently was named as co-host of First Things First, which is a morning show on FS1. We chat about all of this, including his relationship with Christ. Here's my conversation with Brandon Marshall.
Brandon, you've made a smooth transition from the NFL to the real world. When you look back at everything that you've accomplished, man, 970 catches, over 12,000 yards, 21 receptions in one game. What do you look back on and say I'm most proud of?
I will have to go back to when I first realized that football wasn't my wasn't my purpose, but was my platform. And that was on the campus of McLean Hospital, 2011, diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. And I just had phenomenal experiences learning who I was and just breaking down some of my belief systems, which helped me actually just become better in so many other areas of my life, and inspired me to build things that could help people be better. So that's the thing I'm most proud of is the start of that mental health journey on the nonprofit side. You know, it's cool. Scoring touchdowns, it's cool making it to the NFL. You know, that was an amazing journey. But when you are in position to potentially save a life, and that's a phenomenal experience.
I've talked to Brian Dawkins about his battle with depression and a few times, and had some really deep conversations with B Dawk about it. And one of the important hurdles that he talked about is trying to end that stigma that's associated, Brandon, with like mental illness, that men should just suck it up and deal with it on your own and man up and all this nonsense, right? But it's important to actually seek the help, to understand that you're not alone. What issues did you have to face, deal with, and overcome in your battle?
Well, I mean, there's so many. Isolation, small bout of depression. You know, for me, I was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. The best way to describe that is it's a emotional disorder. Being able to self-regulate when you're dealing with stress, you know, are the feelings valid 100%, but do you have the skills to be able to cope? And I didn't have those skills. So I had to go to McLean Hospital and join dialectical behavior therapy groups, cognitive behavior therapy, mentalization, self-assessment. You know, I started with a clinical evaluation, a neurological evaluation, see what I was dealing with, to see if I was capable of change. And, you know, for me, you know, the journey has been really interesting, really impactful, transformative. And, you know, I just know that everybody deals with something. It affects all of us, because if it isn't us, it's our neighbor. And, you know, it's just important for us to be able to identify, you know, what people may be dealing with. You know, for me, borderline personality disorder presented itself different than the people I was in the same group with that was diagnosed with borderline personality disorder. So I'm just thankful that I'm still here today to be able to tell my story and encourage others. A lot of people always ask me, like, okay, what are you doing today? Well, look, I still talk to someone. You know, I talk to people when I need to, and I also try to stay ahead of it. And I think that's important part of our routine. We all should have a routine where we're taking care of ourselves physically, but at the same time, mentally, you know, and being able to deal with stress, especially now. There's people dealing with anxiety and depression for the first time ever because of racial tension, because of, you know, COVID-19. You know, so I appreciate you giving me this opportunity to talk about mental health. And, you know, a lot of people you can look at just my career. It was just a lot of highs and a lot of lows. But I'm just glad that I was able to turn things around to have, you know, halfway through my career and be a guy that people can lean on and depend on.
How did that having that disorder impact your relationships, especially early in your career? Because I would imagine you would, you know, have some kinds of maybe lashing out or whatever it may be, whether it's with teammates, yeah, with coaches, with people. How did it impact?
Well, yeah, man, it my life was a living hell. You know, it was a struggle. But I think the biggest thing for me was what people didn't see. It was, you know, the anxiety that I didn't even know I was dealing with. It was, you know, being uncomfortable in my own skin, you know, going to the gas station, 100 degrees outside in Miami, having a hoodie on and bending down and moving in a way where, like, oh, if I turn this way, people won't recognize me and see me. And that because I didn't want to sign an autograph, but just because I was just uncomfortable. So there's a lot to it. And, you know, it's just one hell of a journey, but now I'm on the other side.
Brandon, what would you say to the men who look at this and, obviously, this is something that affects everybody, men, women, young, old, whatever, but specifically those who still hold on to that stigma, as I mentioned earlier with B-Doc, like, hey, you know, just deal with it on your own and suck it up and be tough, right? Yeah. Be tough. Yeah. What would you say to those guys? Because, I mean, here you are, a professional.
You're not really a man. You're not really a man. Like, real men, you got to face things, right? You can't just face your strengths. You got to face your challenges and your weaknesses. And it's okay. It's okay to not be okay. And the best way to come out on the other side is talk to people, you know, ask questions, ask for help. It's okay. You know, we're built that way. We're trained that way. And you got to understand it's not just you, it's all of us. And you go back to, you know, our childhood when we're kids, a little boy fall down. What do we tell that little boy? We tell that little boy to get up. Boys don't cry. So right then and there, we're telling that guy not to, you know, teaching them not to connect with those emotions. And then if a little girl falls down, we're telling her, oh, it's okay. We pick them up. We validate them. We validate those emotions or that pain they're feeling. So we got to understand that it's something that's just been embedded in us since we were kids. And we got to break that cycle by understanding that it's important to connect with emotions you know, when something's going on, you know, a lot of times we express it in anger, we express it in rage and, you know, or shutting down. It's time for us to ask, like, what am I actually feeling? You know, what emotion am I feeling? Am I sad? It's okay to say I'm sad. You hurt my feelings, right? Men, we don't do a good job of that. And it's time for us to change that.
One of the things you're also involved in is a podcast, I Am Athlete, which you launched that during the pandemic. And you guys already in 6 months have over 100,000 subscribers, which is pretty impressive. What led you to want to do this? And what kind of topics do you discuss with the guys on there?
Yeah, so we definitely launched this in the middle of a pandemic. And, you know, the goal was to have organic and real conversations. Just, you know, I've been on Showtime for 7 years now. I do a 5 day a week show. First things first. I mean, on FS1, First Things First. And you know, I just think people are tired of the traditional approach. Guys sitting up in suits and ties and talking about X's and O's and statistics. And you know, people want the curtain peeled back. People want to hear, you know, the stories in the locker room. People want to get to know the characters more. So I just feel like, you know, not only what I'm doing, there's other athletes out there doing it as well that is peeling back the curtain and taking people inside the locker room. And that's I Am Athlete. In our locker room, we're not just talking about football. To be quite frank, we're in the locker room, we're talking about business. We're talking about what's going on in the entertainment world. We're talking about, you know, media. We're talking about other sports. We're talking about culture. And that's what I Am Athlete is an organic conversation. But we're always leaving people with something that can potentially change their life. We're talking about finances. That was a amazing episode. People really connected with the way we talked about our own failures, the things that we had to deal with when it came to family. Like, we all can have those issues. Like, we can all relate to family issues and challenges, marriage, relationships, mental health. You know, so it's a cool conversation, and we have a lot of characters. You look at Channing Crowder. He's that guy that always goes there. You know, you always need a guy like Channing Crowder that has no filter at all. And what he always says is the only people that can hold him accountable is his wife. And if his wife likes it, he's cool. And she's like, look, I know my husband. So she allows him to go out to the deep end. Fred Taylor's like that old dude. You know, that now I'm gonna say that old dude, he might get mad at me for saying that, but Fred Taylor is like that grandpa that's in that rocking chair on the front porch that you'll go to every Sunday, and you just sit there and you listen to his stories and you're like, wow, he's so wise. And I think the audience really connect with him because they learn something every single time. And Ocho, I think what makes him special is that he truly is somebody that stays the same, no matter if he's on the field, if he's on South Beach, he's on a show. He's always just making people feel loved and amazing. His viewpoints on life and just different topics, you know, is just interesting. So, you know, obviously he's one of the biggest characters that football has ever seen. So he's always interesting to listen to.
He's certainly one of those characters, and certainly a tremendous wide receiver back in his time, as were you. When you look at the league now, I know Devontae Adams recently, and I think he was pushed to say this because he was asked a question. It's not like he volunteered, hey, I'm the best wide receiver in the game. He was asked, and he said that. I got no problem with guys having that kind of confidence. Some people might not like it, but you need that swag. You need that confidence.
100%.
Who do you look at in the game today in 2020 and say, man, those guys are the top?
Well, first of all, there's 32 teams, right? We all know that. That doesn't mean that there's 32 number one wide receivers. You know, when I look at a number one wide receiver, a dog wide receiver, I'm looking at somebody who can beat man to man. Anybody could catch 100 balls in zone because you have a great quarterback. You have a, you know, great offensive coordinator, guy who can just dial it up. For me, I'm looking for that guy third and three, third and four, that can win on the slant no matter how good the corner is. Like, this is a gotta have it moment. Back shoulder, Justin on the ball. What does this dude do in the red zone? Does this guy want the ball in those tough situations? Almost like a basketball player. Throw me the damn ball right now. And when I think about that, I'm looking at DK Metcalf, DeAndre Hopkins, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs. You got Julio Jones still out there. You do have some young pups. Devontae Adams. Like this dude, yeah. Like when, he can easily be the number one wide receiver because nobody can cover him. Nobody. Nobody can cover DK Metcalf. Nobody can cover DeAndre Hopkins. But if I'm a general manager and I'm on the board and I'm saying, okay, who am I going to take at wide receiver to start building this team? I'm probably going to go with, and this is a hard one because I love D Hop. D Hop is the guy I know I can just throw it in his ear and he's going to come down with it. But I'm really excited about DK Metcalf right now, so I would probably start with him.
DK's an absolute monster, man. He's a beast, and I can't believe so many every team passed up on him all the way up until the second round of the draft. Talk to me a little bit, Brandon, about that wide receiver quarterback relationship. How much as a receiver did you appreciate when a QB put the blame on himself and didn't throw his guys under the bus? Whether somebody runs a wrong route, whether somebody doesn't go hard for the ball, whatever it may be, and just says, hey, I got to do a better job rather than put it. How much did you guys, do receivers, appreciate that?
Oh, we love that, you know, because a lot of times, you know, you get those quarterbacks. There's, well, I wouldn't say a lot of times, but there's some quarterbacks, right? You know, they're the CEOs of the team. They got to lead up. They got to lead down, right? Their responsibility is just different. And there's some guys that, you know, they don't know how to, you know, point the thumb at themselves. And so it's refreshing when you have a quarterback that when they throw the ball in the dirt or when they throw a pick or when they make a mistake, they just look at you and they don't even have to say nothing. They just point at themselves and say, that's on me, right? By just their hand signal. So, you know, it's refreshing to see quarterbacks do that. And I think the good ones do that. And you have to be, to be a good quarterback, a good leader, you know, one of the best, you have to be able to do that because now you maintain that credibility in the locker room.
You played a lot of your career with Jay Cutler, of course. You had
you were trying, yeah.
I wasn't going there. I ain't going there. I know you played a little bit with Russell Wilson. Was there a guy that, you know, you wish, man, I wish I had an opportunity to play at some point. I mean, obviously Tom. Yeah. Being who he is there somebody that you go, yeah, that guy, we could have done some special things?
Russell Wilson. You know, I wish I played with Russell Wilson in my prime. You know, when I got to Seattle, I was still banged up and just the timing was all off. I still felt like I can contribute, but we had a couple of guys go down and I was thrown in the fire before I was completely healthy. And I just wasn't able to contribute. And, you know, I was holding the team back. So, Russell Wilson is that guy. And I'm like, man, together we could have won a Super Bowl or two together. Obviously, he's already his second year in the league. He got one. Hopefully, he get another. But his mindset is what separates him from everyone else. This dude truly believes he's always in it. He truly believed that there's always a chance. Whether he's down 30 points, or, you know, he could be, you know, on the verge of being eliminated from the playoffs, and he still believes he's going to operate as if he has a chance. I love his mindset. I love how he leads.
Tell me about House of Athlete. I see the sign right there behind you and what you're doing with House of Athlete. Just tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah, so House of Athlete, I took my 13 years experience and infused that into this wellness concept. When I walked into the Jets facility, the Giants facility, all the guesswork was taken out of it for me. And it gives us that opportunity really to help people unlock their full potential, optimize their health. And we go back to the mental health thing, right? Like we talk about, you know, we talked about that. And that's what this is. It's normalizing just health. It shouldn't be a line between mental health and physical health. So when you walk into House of Athlete, you can come in here, you can get in shape, you have your meal plans, it's a cool environment, people love it. You know, you're working out like an athlete, you may see some of the top athletes training in our facilities. But the coolest thing is we also have mental health practitioners on site. And we're sitting in those groups that I was in, self-assessment. So you can go into our app and you can lock a spot up for self-assessment. And we're going to sit there as a group and talk about what's going on. And I think that's why this movement has been so impactful and amazing in this short time. is because people are coming in and actually being they're connected to other people. You know, because of social media, we feel like we know what's going on in our friend's life or in our neighbor's life. We feel like we're connected, but we're really not. Like we need to really do life with people, and that takes us sitting down having real conversations. So a lot of the stories that you may see on our page and our platform now is people, you know, talking about connecting finally with their anxiety or depression after coming to House of Athlete. And that's what people want. It can't just be, oh, I'm going here to, you know, talk to my therapist and then I'm gonna go train here. It should be all one. And that's one of the things that, you know, I pushed the NFL for a very long time to do is every team should be mandated that every team have a mental health practitioner on staff. Finally got that done 2 years ago. And now the next step for me is taking that mental health practitioner from the second floor, third floor next to the janitor's office and put them right next to the strength and conditioning coach's office, because it should be a thin line between impairment and performance.
Brandon, did you rely on your faith during those tough times in the hospital, and how much did it help you?
100%. I think that's one of the reasons why my time at McLean Hospital was so efficient. Every morning I would wake up and I would just get on my knees, literally on my knees, and I would just thank them and pray. I gave my life to Christ in 2010. And what's interesting is that entire year was a living hell. And you know, a lot of people think, oh, I'm going to get connected to God and things are going to be great. But that's not the reality. The reality is, you know, that's when things that could actually get tougher, and you just got to stay true and you just got to continue to show up. So I was really curious, and I just continued just to pray the same prayer. And it was just, hey, you know, God, help me break this cycle. I want to break this cycle not only in my life, but in my family. You know, it's a generational thing. We talk about generational curses. And so at McLean Hospital, you know, I would actually talk to people about Bible study and give them verses while I was training, while I was eating well, and while I was talking to, you know, doctors that can help me navigate through what I was dealing with. But I truly believe my worship and my prayer and my tithing was a huge reason why my life was radically transformed. You know, it's one thing to be changed. That's just like putting a layer of paint over it. Transform is when you got a new paint job and your doors become wings, and, you know, that's transformation. I think that's what, you know, when you're spiritual and, you know, and for me, it's Jesus and Christianity. That's when you see people's lives radically transform.
I love what you said there about, because it's so true. Sometimes people on the outside think it's like a magic pill. All right, I'm going to give my life to Christ and everything is going to go away. No, it just means he's there with you. You invited him in your life. But sometimes the enemy's going to attack you even harder because you're walking closer with the Lord. So it's awesome that you have that perspective, and we can share that with our listeners, because, man, that is such a strong thing. Like I do the show today. And like I said to you earlier, I find that every time the day I'm going to do that show, something's coming at me, man. Something's coming at me.
That's right. That's real. That's right. And people understand that, man. It's like, you got to, you know, for it to go over people's heads, but just think of it as like spiritual warfare, right? Like you and I know, right? And a lot of people understand, but like, that's what it is, man. It's like, you got to fight every single day. You got to pick up your cross every single day. Just keep showing up. Proverbs is a good thing. Jump in a book of Proverbs. You know, I love Proverbs because it's practical. It's things that I can use right now. A lot of times it's like, how do I connect with this guy I never met? Like, I, and all these old stories and Old Testament. Well, start in Proverbs, pick up Proverbs. Those are things that it's like a playbook, how you're supposed to speak, how you're supposed to act. What does it look like? What does the behavior look like? And once that happens and that there's a shift there, then you'll start seeing some major movement in your life.
Amen, brother. Brandon, really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much.
All right, Rob. Thanks, man, for taking this time.
That was former NFL receiver Brandon Marshall. You're listening to Faith on a Field Show with Rob and Remy Mahdi.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.
With 33 convenient locations, Heritage's dairy stores desire to be your deli of choice. Heritage's full-service delis offer great-tasting products for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. The Hera Egg Breakfast Sandwich made with 2 farm-fresh eggs, cheese, and choice meat on a fresh Kaiser roll makes your morning simple. Heritage's famous subs are built on freshly baked Lissio rolls and feature Dietz & Watson premium meats and cheeses freshly sliced anytime. Making lunches at home? Try one of our lunchbox specials, which are sure to please. Heritage's Dairy Stores, our family, your hometown deli.
Did you know creating your legacy documents, will, power of attorney, advanced medical directive, etc. is important because it allows you to have control over how your estate will be distributed upon your passing? You also get to decide who will make decisions, both financial and medical, if you are incapacitated and unable to make them for yourself. It allows a trusted family member or friend to become the decision maker. Without these documents, these types of decisions will be determined by a court based upon state laws that may or may not be in order with your desires and intentions. I have 2 daughters and realized they could be in trouble if something happened to my wife and I. Thank goodness for Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates, because now Remy and I have our estate planning documents in place to protect our family, which is even more important during these challenging times. Make your appointment with Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates at 856-428-2266. Like I did, to get the peace of mind that estate planning can bring. That's 856-428-2266.
This is Emmitt Smith. You're listening to Faith on the Field Show.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show. I'm Rob Motti with Remy. I want to take a minute to thank all of our wonderful sponsors. Please check them out on our website, Karen University, Heritage's Dairy Stores, Brenda Lee Utzler and Associates. We really appreciate our partnership with all of them. So thank you so much. If you'd like to be a sponsor for our show, please reach out to us at team@faithonthefieldshow.com. We have various packages, whether you want to be part of our radio show on 97.5 The Fanatic in Philly, 97.9 ESPN in Tallahassee, or 107.5 Alive. If you want to be part of all three, or just a podcast, or our social media, we post video clips of our interviews. So there's a variety of ways, a ton of ways that you can partner with us and help Faith on the Field and help us grow the ministry. Our goal is to be on a sports radio station in every state. We're on 2. We're in PA, we're in Florida, and we're coming to a state near you. If you don't have a business to advertise on, but if you just want to help our ministry grow, we now have a donate button on our page at faithonthefieldshow.com. Thank you to Brandon Marshall for being our guest this week. Big thanks to Doug Horton and Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work they do for Faith on the Field. Thank you to 97.5 The Fanatic Philadelphia, 97.9 ESPN Tallahassee, and 107.5 Alive for airing Faith on the Field show. For Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.